start with the piece of archaeology. It is multi-soft ground distribution, which are known since many years. And that is multi-gluon emission within the soft approximation. I start with that because of two reasons. One is there was always a surprise that at the end the distribution are equivalent to the Parker and Taylor distribution, although these are obtained in an approximation, as I will show. Second reason is that they are known since many years, but I don't think that the full exploitation of their structure has been done yet, and I will describe some of this. So a summary of how was obtained the multi-soft gluon distribution. To start, for instance, for a plus and minus into quark anti-quark plus a bunch of soft gluon, the distribution has this color structure. These are ordered color lambda matrices, and this is the color ordered amplitude. And now you want to compute the amplitude in the leading order soft, in the leading soft order limit. That is including large angle, not only in the collinear limit. So in order to compute the amplitude, you have to take the strong ordering region. This gives the leading contribution. Moreover, you have to prove a thing, which is that the softest gluon is emitted off the external legs without any modification of the internal legs. Of course, in Feynman diagram, if you emit from an external leg, you modify the structure of the internal leg, but also you have to take into account emission from the internal legs, and at the end, everything compensates. And this is what you have to prove. Then this is the beginning of the factorization. That is a recurrent relation which allows you to compute the amplitude. You take, for instance, for the color amplitude, the softest gluon n, you pull it out. This is an amplitude you have computed before, time a dipole current between the two legs. And to take the distribution, you have to square it, take the largest order in the matrix, and then set up this, use this recurrent relation in order to compute the amplitude. And the amplitude, the ordered amplitude, is given by a multi-dipole emission, plus correction, which are down by 1 over n squared. And was always, as I said, the puzzle, the fact that this amplitude is equivalent, this distribution, is equivalent to the Parker and Taylor distribution, which is exact. Now I want to, this expression is, has been used in many different point of view, but if you want to get the full structure out, the full information out of this, distribution, you have to build up a generating function which is based on the distribution without any collinear approximation, as I say. This is only soft approximation. Now, in order to build up a generating function, you take a distribution, an observable, and a general observable, and you have to factorize the constraint defining the observable in terms of a source, U, which depends on Q, single, the observable you think is linear in the emitted gluons. That means independent on just the sum of the contribution of a single gluon, of the individual gluons. Then you have to factorize the phase space in the soft limit. And then you take the planar limit in the amplitude, and this is the expression. As you see, factorize the phase space, the factorize the source, and then the amplitude in a particular ordering, for instance, the fundamental representation, because you have 1 over n factorial, sum over all possible energy ordering, you take away the 1 over n factorial and the sum because of the symmetry, and this is the expression. This expression.
So So what's U? Can you give an example of what U
is? I will give an example later. That could be, if you compute a form factor, will be a cutoff of the collinear infrared singularity. If you compute a jet shade, shade observable like I don't know, the transverse momentum, then will be the conjugate variable to the transverse momentum. In order to get U, you have to do usually Fourier transform, Mellin transform. I will give an example. And now from this expression and from the factorized structure of the multi-dipole expression, you get the evolution equation. Evolution equation means that you take the derivative of this with respect to Q. Q is here, and that is how you do it. You get this expression. Taking the derivative is equivalent to, taking the derivative is essentially what you do thinking to the energy ordering. If you take the derivative, you are going one less ordered down. So this is the derivative, and now in order to get this expression, you have to use a factorized structure of the multi-dipole formula, which is this one. So this is the multi-dipole formula for the emission by a dipole A and B with many gluons. Now you pick up any gluon, any, for instance, the gluon L, and then you have two dipoles, multi-dipole emission, the product of two multi-dipole emission, and then the distribution for the soft gluon dipole emission. This is the infrared singularity, and these are the two collinear singularity, because they are disk psi are 1 minus cosine. So you have a collinear singularity when A, when Q go near A or Q go near B. Since this is the real emission, you have the U in front of here. Now you have to care about the virtual correction. You can do by performing the same analysis as I did before by Cauchy integral, or if you want, knowing that the pseudo-conform factor is this type of formal expression. Formal in the sense that this is divergent, while this expression contains the compensation of real and emission cancellation, real and virtual emission cancellation. Real emission and virtual cancellation. To see that, you put Q, you put U equal to 1, and if you put U, Q equal to 1, you see that the solution sigma equal to 1, which means total probability 1, is just a solution of this equation. So this equation is contain the full information in an integrated form of the multigluon emission described before. Now I want to use it, and I will give two examples. One is this non-global, first example is this non-global logs. I don't know if you heard about, but it's what in the old days would have been called the discovery, which has been made 2 years ago by Das Gupta and Salam. And the discovery is that if you take a jet shape observable, which takes contribution only in a part of the phase space, then you have new type of logarithm which has never been considered. So I describe this new type of logarithm, but before I describe the observable, okay? Observable are, for instance, the well-known Sternman-Weimer distribution, which has been computed to leading order, but if you want to compute, to double log one collinear, one soft, if you want to compute the Sternman-Weimer distribution at the single log level, then you have to care about this additional contribution. If you want to study jet distribution, the radiation of a jet away from the jet, interjet distribution or photon isolation or the pedestal distribution or a dijet type of the jet in deep inelastic, which takes contribution only in the current frame, the bright frame, current piece in the bright, current hemisphere in the bright frame, then you have to care about these locks. And these locks are important because all these locks come because all these type of observable takes contribution which are coming from soft angle, no, soft, large angle soft emission. So a typical observable, and the simplest one is in E plus E minus, but any of the other are the same. You take E plus E minus, I describe this one. You take the thrust axis, you cut off a cone, and you accumulate transverse energy outside the cone here. Since you have a jet, you don't have much energy there. So E out, which is the sum of the energy of the transverse momentum outside the cone, is typically small. And then you have to sum logarithm of Q over E. And the basis of this analysis, since this configuration, relevant configuration are large angle soft emission, as we will see, the basis is the multigluon emission distribution I described before, and the generating function I described.
So just to be clear, this single log was taken into account by origin by Sternberger formula. And there was a log delta square and log square delta and a log delta term.
The log delta are wrong.
It was an
one log calculation. You get alpha log square, and that is correct. And then
people made a full calculation.
People made well, but you have to resum, no? And in the resummation, you lose. Well, if you do one loop, if you do an exact one loop calculation, that is an exact one.
So but if this log delta not appearing in the Sternberger formula, that you are talking about.
Yes. Alpha log delta resummed. They need I didn't describe from where they are coming, but you have to be patient because I use the equation, which is quite very powerful to do that. So this is an example of how I get a source. So I have the constraint. And the constraint for small eta, I have to do the analysis and see that for small eta is equivalent to take the product of the constraint for the individual gluon. And that is in the form of product of U, where U is this expression. This expression means that U gets contribution only if theta is outside. If you are outside, otherwise you are not making the measurement. Moreover, outside, you have to have a transverse momentum which is smaller than your measurement. This is accuracy single log.
Can you say that at subwaying, you have the energy shared by two gluons?
Yes.
Can you say
that will be alpha square log. I mean, it's easy to do in the sense that you do a Mellin transform and then you evaluate the Mellin integral by steepest descent, and that is the result. Steepest descent, you can control the type of accuracy. So this is the equation I had before, by using that particular source, by reshuffling pieces. As you see, the first piece, first of all, the derivative with respect to delta, because and delta is a single log variable, because it's alpha log of Q over E type of expansion. And R is the radiator, and you can read the radiator as the one loop contribution to the observable. And the observable is that the angle has to be integrated outside the cone. And therefore, this Sudakov piece is a log of the infrared type, and the log of the virtual type is not present because the angle is restricted. You are integrated outside this singularity. And the first piece is just the sum of the exponentiation of the single one soft gluon emission contribution. That is the pseudo-confirm factor. You can compute by many various techniques, like the Glapp equation, for instance, but essentially correspond to say that you have a multiple emission of soft gluon out of the quark-antiquark pair, which are along the thrust axis. And this is understandable because when you emit outside here, then of course higher order Feynman diagram will bring you branching. No? This gluon will branch, but because you are computing this simple observable, the result of the branching, transverse energy of the sum of the energy of the branching is equivalent to the initial one. So you can neglect the branching. This is the normal logic to reconstruct the pseudo-confirm factor. And the second piece is taking the contribution when the first branching is inside the cone. Then you cannot apply the previous argument of canceling real and virtual. You have to let it evolve because you are you are computing something which end up in the observed region. So the integral, the angular integral is in the in region, inside the region. You have collinear singularity here, but this is the virtual, the real contribution. This is the virtual contribution. Singularity cancel real and virtual. Therefore, this observable is a single log observable, which is a soft log and takes contribution from large angles of emission. This type of contribution, which comes from non-abelian structure, this is abelian except for the color, except for the charge, and this is typically non-abelian. This type of contribution for global observer, as I said, they are not present because at the single log level you can neglect the branching for the argument I just gave before. So these are the new things which have been observed by this group and Salam. And the result is that the amplitude is given by the sum, the product of two pieces. One is the pseudo-confirm factor, which at this level is a single log variable, so e to the minus delta times something. And the other is the correlation piece. And the correlation piece, you get it by solving the equation. And you can solve the equation for large delta. Large delta is not large log. It's large log times alpha. Asymptopia is a little bit farther. Oh yeah, this is the behavior with the coefficient, which is can be computed. This is the contribution of the Gaussian behavior. This is the factor for the Gaussian function. And where is coming this expression? It's coming because there is a large branch, a large buffer in the branching. From the equation, you get that this emission inside the branching, inside the cone, has to be confined in a region with an angle close to the thrust, which is decreasing as e to the minus c over 2 delta. So this is the feature of this new type of logarithms. For large delta, they are overwhelming, in this case, the normal pseudocov expression. And the puzzling question is that this type of contribution, this type of number, you get it from a function which is known from small x physics, which is the BFLK kernel. So there is this puzzle of the equation for jet physics, which is connected to a similar equation in the small x physics, which is completely different type of physics. The phase space configuration, which are relevant here, large angle soft emission, they are completely different from the relevant configuration which give rise to the small x physics. This has been discussed.
That the BFL equation leading order is derived by conformal or scale invariance.
Yeah, yes, yes. That is the
way.
You
have the same kinematics, the over the MTF.
Yeah, that is the way you can try to understand it. Like Park and Taylor exact formula is the same as the multi-dipole expression because symmetry, singularities, and the fact that there is no any scale. But that is how to make it more clear is difficult. So impact about non-global of these non-global logs has been studied by the group Salang. These two curves. One is the correlation function as a function of delta. Say in the most optimistic large delta region, we are around 0.2, where there is a depletion of the order of 20%. 20% for dipole. In hadron-hadron, you have at least three dipoles, so you have 20% cube, which is 50%. So you have to take into account this type of correction. And this is for an observable, which is the current hemisphere in the inelastic, the jet mass. It means the mass over, this variable is the mass over the energy. And the red one is pure Sudakov, and the green is Sudakov plus the other piece. I have to say that this observable contain also a collinear singularity. So, I mean, the most important piece is the double log, and the double log is common to the two expressions. This is the reason why there is not much difference, if you think that there is not much difference. Now I go to the last application, and this is an idea of improving large angle soft, including the Monte Carlo, to take into account in the Monte Carlo this effect of large angle soft branching. These are important for various reasons, but important in order to compute the observable I just wanted to, I just described before. This is not very, it's on the same logic as the Ariadne Monte Carlo, I believe, although there is, okay. Monte Carlo is a numerical way to solve the generative functional. This is a way to say, a way to see it. And Herwig is a Monte Carlo which is based on collinear singularity plus coherence, which is angular ordering. Now, I give you very schematically the idea. You take the branching you take two gluons emitting an additional gluon, which is very, very soft with respect to the first two. Then you can write the distribution of the soft gluon as two pieces, one which contains a singularity 1.3 and the other is 2.3. Unfortunately, these coefficients are not positive everywhere, but they have the virtue that the azimuthal integral over the leading emitting over the singularity, the direction of A, which is the direction of the photon which is emitting, is given by an angular ordering. So the angle between 3 and A is between 1 and 2, where A is 1 or 2. So Herwig is based essentially on, very roughly, on this type of scheme in which you approximate the dipole formula with the two theta function instead of this complicated expression. So very schematically, the branching 1, 2 giving 2, 3 is the branching of 1 giving 3, 2 giving 3, where the individual two pieces are just the collinear singularity integral, the soft singularity integral. This is the Altarelli-Parisi splitting function in the soft approximation, 1 over z only. And this is the angular ordered. So this is how it's constructed the Monte Carlo. But of course, you can do better if you are interested. You can make a different splitting of this thing. One which contain the singularity, which is confined in a cone around 1. One which contain the other singularity confined in a cone around 2. and the remaining thing which doesn't belong either to one or the two. And you have to prove that these things are positive, and then you can construct a Monte Carlo, which is based on three pieces of probability, one, two, which are of the which has the structure as the one that I present now, plus an additional one, which is soft emission, eventually even backward. Not only, eh? So this is the idea, and instead of conclusion, I give you a working program. Eh? Who want to join it? I'm very happy. First is try to understand better what is the relation between this soft approximation and the Parker-Taylor amplitude. In the same way as you say the square of the current is the dipole expression. So in what sense this is related to the Parker and Taylor? I mean, this is not should have been done much earlier, but this is not it's not been completely done. Then one has to ask, for instance, why the next to leading order correction in the soft approximation, they do not modify the leading first order correction. So for instance, by using this result of Catani. Then the other thing is to exploit more this large angle soft emission, because I'm puzzled by the fact that if you study global observable, then at the single log level, you don't get contribution of large angle soft emission. Therefore, you don't describe the jet structure, the shape of the jet structure, but essentially only the bulk part of the jet. And in order to describe the shape, that is how is when you go away from the jet, then you have to study non-global quantity. In the non-global quantity, you need them only to single log level, because we have the technology. And then, as I said, it's important to add large angle soft emission in Monte Carlo. Are they phenomenologically relevant? And this is a project I would like to study with Stefan Giesecke. And I had the same feeling as coherence. In the beginning, there was no strong evidence that to put coherence in the Monte Carlo was a good, phenomenologically was very relevant, and at the end it turns out to be relevant. And I would like to explore this strange connection, as Johannes was saying, of BF and KL. And then there is another interesting project, which is how to go beyond the planar approximation. As I said, the multi-dipole formula is based on the dipole approximation, on the planar approximation. And now it's interesting to see how you can get 1/n² correction. They are important because this is a way to understand the physics beyond this type of physics, beyond the Parton type of language, because you have not positive definite contribution. This is a problem which is present also for the Parker and Taylor amplitude, because if you take Parker and Taylor amplitude, if you compute distribution, you get planar contribution, and next to planar, which I don't think that they are known. And then another project. I'm writing my report, because sometimes I have to write. Another project is soft emission in an environment with multi-jets. So for instance, soft emission in hadron-hadron. As you know, in hadron-hadron, you have two parton incoming, two parton outgoing, color, and then the emission is not just a function, is a matrix in a color space, which is, for hadron-hadron, at least 6 by 6 matrix. So how you get emission in this type of environment is something that we may need to know when we generalize the analysis to hadron-hadron from E plus E minus, and that's it. For the person interested, I have later an appendix about how to start one over n square correction, but not now. Eh?
Okay, thanks very much.
Sorry,
was
that appendix in a paper or?
No,
it's here. Oh, that's a new appendix. Maybe later you can
share. Later, if you are interested.
So, a question about the relation between Park Taylor and the soft emission. I mean, if you can argue that the helicity of the softest gluon doesn't matter, and then work recursively up, I mean, can you then give an argument that the Park Taylor amplitude determines the multi-soft structure? Because you could have chosen all those helicities to be positive?
No, I think so, but the puzzle is I think that the other amplitude in Parker and Taylor has the same soft singularity as the maximum helicity regulating amplitude. I must have because of dimensional reason. And therefore, I do not understand why they are not present here. The other, I mean, the connection is with the maximum helicity radiating amplitude, okay?
I mean, you would see it in any other amplitude. It's just that that's the simplest helicity configuration to consider.
Well, I think that the analysis done here is essentially gauge invariant. Actually, it's gauge invariant. If the original amplitude is gauge invariant, if the original emission is out of a singlet, then it's gauge invariant. So you can write it in for any type of polarization, I will get, if I make the sum, I will get the similar structure. But we should talk probably because I do not understand well this this point.
Maybe just Greenland contribution also. Then you really need the real soft emission physical process. You should square.
Yes.
And you only square.
Well, planar because I don't know how to do 1/n². But I believe that this is a very general limitation, even for the Parker and Taylor. I mean, I don't know how to do the 1/n² contribution to the distribution.
So, any more questions? So, thanks very much. And next talk with you.